Okay, very good. Should I start? All right, so we're speaking today about internet websites on Shabbos. I want to give a little bit of a hakdama before we get started with this particular issue, which is that there is a threshold question, which is whether one should be operating internet websites during weekdays. That it's not necessarily so obvious that this is something that is appropriate or permissible altogether. We're living in a new age, and a new age brings with it new shilos. Gemara Neochin Daf Yud Zayin says, Zedo Doshav Makshef Anecha Yaakov Selah, it's a machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and the Chachamim, whether we say Dor Lefi HaParnas or Parnas Lefi HaDor. Sometimes poskim have to deal with the shilos that affect their generation, even though these are issues that may not have been relevant in previous generations. And at the same time, there's also an understanding that whichever poskim are situated in a particular generation, this was their tafki, that they're meant to be the ones that will address these issues, and they're the ones that the Hamonam has to listen to when it comes to how we're going to relate to all kinds of modern-day shilos, whether it relates to developments in medicine, reproductive technologies, issues of transgender and homosexuality that have become prevalent nowadays in terms of halachic shilos that we get. And lastly, the internet, that proskim of previous generations didn't have to deal with the internet, but since it's there, that becomes the tafkid of our generation to address the shilos and to recognize that this is what we're meant to do. This is why we were placed in this generation. The Maharal in the Baragolam Psochim writes that just like there's a development, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that we should have a development of Torah principles and Torah insights, there's also the development of the world independently. That's why even though we're not allowed to be involved in Kilayim, in interbreeding animals to create a mule, but Kadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that the mule would be created out of a horse and a camel, that there be interbreeded species, because that was the way that the world was intended to operate. So the same thing is true with respect to the internet. I don't know that based on Torah principles we would have fashioned it on our own, but now that the internet is out there, we have to figure out how to assemble all of these different issues in the framework of the Torah of having internet websites and things of that sort. I think it goes without saying, as we learn in Pirkei, in Avos de Rabbi Nosson, Perek Beis, Hachek min akir min adomelo, that when one is surfing the internet and going on websites in general, even during the week, or if you have a business and you try to attract people to come to your website, once they're surfing the web, so to speak, it opens up all kinds of vistas of extreme danger. And therefore, when we speak about having internet websites, it's very important that part of the assumption of any discussion is that any access to the internet should be limited. Anybody who goes on the internet should make sure that they are blocked from being able to even have a temptation of seeing certain types of sites which are clearly usur, al pi halacha. And also it's a good idea for people to have their access monitored so that they have somebody looking over their shoulder, so to speak, in order to make sure that these prerogatives are not abused in any way. Now it becomes so much easier to be a Talmid Chacham, so to speak, because you have access to all kinds of websites and all kinds of features that enable you to just look up mikoros and do searches for halachic key terms and be able to research any issue. It could be a wonderful opportunity for one to grow in their learning. But it's also important to recognize that Rav Moshe Feinstein of Chaim Oza, the Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi Yashiv, and many others became a top-rate Talmidei Chachamim probably without ever looking at a computer or browsing the internet or going on any of these websites. So one doesn't have to feel that in order to keep up, shall we say, with the Olam HaTorah that it's necessary to do these things all together. The Chofetz Chaim in his Sefer Shem Olam, which is a Hashkafic work, wrote that the purpose of all of the technological developments in his day, like the phonograph and the telegraph, I mean, we've come a pretty long way from the things that he was discussing, but he wrote that it was to enable people to broaden their emunah and bitachon and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you should see that when we speak about Yistaka v'shol shodrami and tavali dey avera, ayin rovi always in Shema, sukho v'asecha v'sefe nechtovim, that you should have a recognition that there is such a thing as an ayin roeh, everything that you do is an osin shamas, everything that you do, and such a recognition that it's possible for all of your deeds to be recorded in a sefer. So there's no greater recognition for this than the fact that pretty much everything gets registered nowadays in the internet, that all of your movements can be tracked so diligently and so particularly by forces that you're not even aware of. But at the same time, as this increases or adds to our understanding of our Kodesh Baruch Hu can be all-knowing and all-seeing, it also increases the need for our vigilance in terms of the imperative of Halos Asuach Re'levavchem, and the dangers, obviously, of Ismachris, of internet addiction, as the Sefer Chinuch derives from that Pasuk, that there's an issur to become addicted to things. To be very, very careful about that. So therefore, internet use during the week is not so pashut. And it's important, even when one is opening up a Torah-based website that's going to make Torah content available to people, that it should be done in a way that, independent of the Shabbos issues, that the users should be instructed, that they should be very, very careful, that their utilization of the site should be limited only in terms of their Torah learning. It should be done for short spurts. That it shouldn't be something that they rely upon or depend upon regularly, because the more time that people are spending in front of the computer, the greater the temptation that once they're pressing one button, they'll start pressing other buttons, and one thing will lead to the other. So it's important for all of this type of use to be limited. It's like in certain Bate Midrashas, they keep out the English translations of Gemaras that are really good translations, because people will, you know, end up using it as a crutch. That the idea is you should use it as a reference tool and then go back to your regular, you know, Gemara, so that you'll be able to steig and apply your brain and be a melem b'Torah in the fashion that is intended. So the same thing with respect to these websites, even if they're Torah-based websites, they should be used sparingly as reference tools and not as the ikar source of a person's learning, if it can, especially given that it could lead to all of these other mechsholim. So this has been a whole major revolution in business. Now there's no real business. You can't operate a business without having a functional website. It's a problem for yeshivas too, because it's difficult to advertise even your yeshivas without having a website. It creates a tension. On the one hand, you want to discourage people from using the internet. On the other hand, you can't really be viable unless you have a website. So some of the yeshivas have a compromise position. They'll have a website, but it's barely functional, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a very, very difficult tension in general. I've spoken to some of my colleagues in the Rabbanus, because some of them say that there are other internet features that become an important part of our professional lives nowadays, even the Rabbanus, to remain in touch with people, with their congregants, with former students, through Facebook and all of Twitters and all of these other different accounts. I've resisted it personally, but I have colleagues who tell me that they can't really, especially in Kiruv, that they can't really be effective without going in these sites. I don't know. It's a very, very difficult cheshbon. It's like the Mishnah says, V'mechashu hefzi mitzvah k'neged schar, schar aveira k'neged hefzeda. Really think about schar aveira k'neged hefzeda. Really comes, you know, into play when you have to make these cheshbonos. So in the business context, it's all part of the world of becoming this 24/7 monster. When I started working, remember, I used to work in the business sector a little bit. I was a lawyer for a few years, some of you know. So I remember in the early years, before the world went mad, if you would leave on Erev Shabbos and you had just sent in some sort of a mailing to the other side in a case that you were working on, you knew that you had the weekend off. Because they would be first receive it on Monday, and then they would review it, and then they would make their changes. They get back to you a mailing, you know, maybe on Wednesday or Thursday of next week. You had a chance to breathe. Now, there's no such thing. Everything gets scanned and sent by email. You send something on a Friday afternoon, they're probably looking at it and sending back comments by Friday night, and they're expecting people to work on Shabbos Sunday. There's no such thing as any kind of rest whatsoever. And part of that is also a tremendous pressure for businesses to stay open in terms of internet access for Shabbos as well. So much of the opposition that the old-time poskim had with respect to the sale of businesses on Shabbos was precisely this fear that people were going to end up working on Shabbos. And there was no need for anybody. You're not supposed to work on Shabbos, obviously, it goes without saying. But the idea was you should close down your business before Shabbos, you reopen your business after Shabbos. People would enter into business partnerships with Goyim, and then they would sit around in the store on Shabbos day, you know, just to make sure, supposedly, ostensibly, that that nobody steal from them. But the Maisa, once they were sitting in the store, they would tell the Goyim what to do, and they would be running the business, and the whole thing was a ruse, the whole thing was a giant haroma. It's very different from the what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah speaks about in Chofes. It speaks about Hanu Marikai. It speaks about a Jew who goes into a partnership with a non-Jew to go into a gardening business. They go into a gardening business together, and the Jew has an extra day that the business is only his during the week, and the Goy has the business on Shabbos that belongs to the non-Jew on Shabbos, that there is such a business arrangement. That's a heter gomer, that there's no ruse, there's no harama going on, because there's a genuine partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew. Nowadays, because of the tremendous pressure that I get for businesses to, you know, remain viable on Shabbos, I can't tell you how many calls I get from really early people who want to not lose business by not having the business around on Shabbos. They're not entering the chatchil into a partnership with a goy, which is what the Gemara was talking about, or renting a business, the chatchila, to a non-Jew, that the non-Jew owns the business for 2 years and makes all the profits from the business for 2 years, like the Gemara talks about in the Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. They're talking about finding some sort of, call it a harama, some sort of a way in which they can keep the business going on Shabbos, even though it's essentially their business, and just to bring a non-Jew in so that they'll avoid all of the problems of Mekach u'Memkar being conducted on Shabbos. It's not a case where they're going to actually sit in and be involved in the business enterprise, but this is becoming a much more prevalent problem. And really all of the heterim that are out there, to the extent that there are any heterim out there for people to have these business partnerships with respect to Shabbos, are predicated upon a Mordechai, which is in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, Osreish Yudches. Mordechai talks about somebody who was given the rights to collect a tax on behalf of the government. If the tax is not collected on Shabbos, then they'll lose their whole dispensation, and they need to have that dispensation in order to make a living, in order to pay up debts, etc. So the Gemara says, so the Mordechai says, Makom Hefseid will allow the person to actually license out that business to a non-Jew, even though for Shabbos, even though it's known that the business is going to be conducted on Shabbos, and they're not going to be giving up all of their proceeds. They're giving up a portion of their proceeds, but since the non-Jew is going to receive a percentage of the proceeds that are collected on Shabbos, we say, they're doing it for their own purposes because they're getting a cut. So that's what most of the models nowadays of sales of business are predicated upon, this idea. So again, let's get back to our subject, because we're going to refer to what I'm talking about later on in terms of the possibility of bringing in a non-Jew into the business enterprise. But all of this is nogeya to websites. Because the same way that people have problems, that they're running hotels, they're running software companies, they're running all kinds of different business ventures nowadays, where they just feel, even they're renting, they're running nursing homes, and they're just not able to close the business down on Shabbos, because that's not the business world that we live in today, the nature of the businesses today. So now, even if a person closes their business, and it's not open on Shabbos, it's not open on Yontif, they still have a quandary, because all businesses have websites, and if you close down the website on Shabbos, so people are afraid that the customers will think that they went out of business, the customers will go elsewhere, the whole model will break down, that they feel a tremendous need, a tremendous urgency to keep the website open. So part of the question is, what does the website do? There are some businesses where the website enables you to actually purchase products on Shabbos. You order things, you order books, you order clothes, you order it's apparel, you order the different types of toys, the Judaica, whatever is being sold on the website. That's a large part of the business of many, many retail stores, is what people buy on the website itself. Or you might have a website where it just enables browsing, that enables people to see like the content of what it is that you do. They're not actually going to buy anything, but they're going to browse the website. So each one of those different types of websites presents their own unique challenges. What are the issues? So this has been written about by a number of poskim. I just saw this nice long tshuva in the Meshiv Mishpat by Rav Avadya Yosef Toledano. But there are other issues as well. There are other Machabim who have written about this as well. Rav Duchovsky has written about this in Tuchumin. There's a in Chelek Hay of the Shailos Tshuvos Mareya Bazak. There's a lengthy tshuva on this subject. There are it's something which is being the Shevet Halevi actually has a tshuva about something along these lines as well. What are the issues that are discussed in these tshuvos? So they discuss number one, Mekach u'Memker. Doing business on Shabbos, you have a website which is conducting transactions. People are buying things on the website, so that's a Mekach u'Memker issue. Mekach u'Memker is an issur d'rabbanan, right? Even if you're not violating one of the lametes malachos, just conducting business or doing a kinyan is an issur d'rabbanan on Shabbos. Would be a divrei kabbalah v'chibatum esos d'rabbechem so chefzecha v'davidaver. So it's certainly something which is a very serious issur. Number two, you have a problem with Pnei Iver, that you might have Jews who are going to go on the website and they're going to turn on their computers on Shabbos, they're going to be purchasing things on Shabbos, they're going to be violating either Isuri D'Oraisa, Isuri D'Rabbanan, by virtue of going on their computer, navigating the website, buying things on Shabbos. That's a Lifnei Iver problem. Number three, you have Schar Shabbos. If you're going to make money from any of these purchases, so that's an Issur D'Rabbanan of Schar Shabbos, you're not allowed to collect money for Kinyanim that take place on Shabbos, even for things that are legitimate that you do on Shabbos. Let's say you babysit for somebody on Shabbos, you get paid for the babysitting. If it's not behalf of law, you're not getting paid for like a 3-day period, you're just getting paid for what you did on Shabbos. That's an issur schar Shabbos, and I like to take the compensation. Number four, there was the Maris Ayin issue. People might think, oh, you're running your business on Shabbos because you're keeping your website open on Shabbos. So maybe the Maris Ayin that you're trying to even entice Jews as well as non-Jews to come on your website on Shabbos, which looks like a Lifnei Iver, and even if you can get out of Lifnei Iver. Number five, there's an issue of Zilzul Shabbos, that maybe it's considered to be a degradation of Shabbos, like the Ramban writes in Parshas Emor and his Drashos, that there's an issue of Shabbaton, that there's a mitzvah essay on Shabbos, that it's not only you're supposed to refrain from malachos, but it's supposed to be an active day of rest. You shouldn't go around like carrying furniture or going to your shop and conducting business in a way that takes away from the Shabbaton, it takes away from the restful and sacred, holy nature of the Shabbos day. So those are five issues that are dealt with by the poskim, and I want to go through them and discuss some of the different issues and some of the different considerations that that are mentioned. So number one, with respect to Mekach u'Memker. So the Mekach u'Memker issue, you'll say, well, you're not conducting any business. Your website is conducting business on Shabbos. There's no issur. We have a machlokes beis hillel and beis shammai, right, about whether your kelim are allowed to do malach on Shabbos. You set up a kli, you set up a sprinkler system before Shabbos, and it's going to water the field on Shabbos. So beis hillel says, no problem. Sprinkler system is no problem. If you're going to start to put in a water mill that's going to grind wheat on Shabbos, so that would also be mutter, not for the fact of upsha milsa, that it just makes a lot of noise, but it's not making a lot of noise. You don't have an upsha milsa, so shvisas kalim, it will be, strictly speaking, it will be perfectly permissible. But there's a tshuva of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger deals with a situation of having a what you would do if you would try to provide a backup wife for a Kohen Gadol, who's supposed to have one wife. What happens if that one wife gets all discussed? Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, beginning of Maseches Yuma. So one has all kinds of convoluted ideas of how you would end up with one wife if the other wife dies. So he asked the question. So Shagas Ari asked the question. He says, why not do something very, very simple? You could just say to one woman, Harei Mekudesh Liya Alacha Shetamus Chavertech, that you'll be married to me after the other one dies. And if the other one should happen to die in the middle of Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur will be, so if you're Kohen Gadol, will be able to fulfill the Chiper Bado V'yad Beiso, Beiso Zu Ishto, they'll be able to fulfill it by having the other one automatically become married to him on Yom Kippur. So why don't we say that? So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, we prove from here that marriage is a kinyan, that you can't have a kinyan take place on Shabbos, even if the stipulation for the kinyan took place before Shabbos. Even if it's going to happen Mimela, no, you didn't do anything on Shabbos itself. You just stipulated before Shabbos that the chalos of the kinyan is going to take place on Shabbos. We see that that's also going to be problematic. Now, this is a question, because number one, it doesn't really appear to be so explicit, certainly not in the Talmud Bavli. Number two, so Truma Sadeshin is also cited along these lines, who says that what do you do if the 30, you know, the 30 days, the Pidyon HaBein, the 31 comes out on Shabbos, so can you do a Pidyon HaBein on Shabbos? He tries to figure out, he can't do a Kinyan on Shabbos, so therefore you can't do a Pidyon HaBein, because you can't do a Kinyan on Shabbos, because giving over the money, or even Shabbat Kesef to a Kohen will be performing a Kinyan on Shabbos. So he suggests, oh, maybe you could do the Kinyan Erev Shabbos and have in mind that the Chalos will take place on Shabbos. But he says, no, you can't do that because you'd have to do a Suda and there wouldn't be any Meiser that would be able to accompany it. So you bring that as a riot. He says, you shouldn't do this, that Truma Sedeshin somehow also supports Rabbi Kiva Eger. But the reason he says you shouldn't do it is for a right issue, he says, because nothing is actually happening to justify the Suda's Pidyon HaBein. So it's not entirely clear that he viewed it from a Kenyan perspective to be problematic. And others point out that it really seems on its face that this is very, very similar to Shvisas Kelim. Why is Rabbi Akiva Eger more mocking about this case than a normal case of Shvisas Kelim? You know, that you set up a mechanism that's going to keep on going on Shabbos. So why is that okay and this would not be okay? So two different answers are given as to why this would be worse, according to Rabbi Akiva. One is the Chilkas Yaakov and the materials here in the Orach Chaim Siman Samach Zayin quotes from the Avni Nezer. That it's not really being set up before Shabbos. It's really being set up for on Shabbos itself, because in order for the chalos of the kinyan to take place, when a person sets something up, they have to be alive. If they're not going to be alive, then the kinyan's not going to take place. The question is that how that would be applicable to a website. Even if the owner of the website is not alive, maybe the kinyan still takes place, because it takes place maybe through the company. The company's not a person. Usually when people have websites, it's not run like as an individual. It's usually run as a corporation. The corporation, Mistama, you know, still has some viability. That's the question. When does the corporation, you know, die? If the person dies, that's the question. Number two, unless you say a corporation doesn't count for halakhic purposes, so it really is the person. I don't know. Second explanation that I saw is was given, there's a sefer called Commerce in Halacha, Commerce in Shabbos by Rabbi Yosef Kushner, the son-in-law of Shlomo Miller. So he quotes Shlomo Miller a lot in the course of the sefer, so he talks about this issue as well. So in the sefer, he says, he quotes Shlomo Miller, is saying that the Adam is still effectuating the kinyan according to Rabbi Kiva Eger on Shabbos itself, because he could be mevatel it up until the last minute. You say that you have a mechanism for the kinyan to take place on Shabbos that you set up before Shabbos, but you could take it down at any moment in time. Since you could take it down at any moment in time, therefore that is also maybe not exactly analogous. You could also potentially distinguish that all the cases of Shvisas Kelim is you're setting up something which began before Shabbos is continuing on Shabbos. Is the famous comment of the Rambam, his Perush of the Gemara. The Rambam says that the thing only is setting up something and it's only going to first start on Shabbos itself, so maybe that's more problematic. So that would be maybe even a stronger support for the opinion of Rabbi Akiva Eger. But not everybody agreed with Rabbi Akiva Eger. So you could start off by saying that maybe it's not the end of the world that the kinyan takes place on Shabbos if everything was set up before Shabbos, because not everybody agreed with Rabbi Akiva Eger. Maram Shik, who is a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, took issue with Rabbi Akiva Eger and felt that the Shvisas Kelim precedent would seem to run against his Chiddush. And the Sefer Commerce on Shabbos, he quotes his father-in-law saying that Me'ikaradin, we really don't hold like Rabbi Kiva Eger. We just mock like him. Rabbi Moshe writes that way too. He says, look, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that we have to reckon with it. But Lamaisa, we have to reckon with Rabbi Kiva Eger. So a lot of the post-Kim starting over about 100 years ago, they started applying Rabbi Kiva Eger to the situation where they would have vending machines and laundromats, where a person would own the vending machine, and they would be sitting at home enjoying their Shabbos with their family, but their vending machine would be doing business. People, what were vending machines for? People would do laundry. They would put, you know, money in the laundry machine and it would work for them and clean the clothes. Or you would have a vending machine that spattered out cigarettes. We had a vending machine that spattered out sodas. Or out of your mazet, you had the vending machines where people buy candies and sodas, right? So these were the types of vending machines that were spoken about. And there was a famous, there was a big posik in Hungary by the name of Shimon Greenfield. He was a Talmud of the Maram Shik. He was known as the Maharshag. So the Maharshag, he lived, he was a Dayan in Hungary. He lived from 1860 to 1930. So he wrote sort of the original definitive tshuva on the subject, in which he said, no problem in this type of a case, because it's different from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's case is a person does a ma'aseh on Friday and say they want the chalos to take place on Shabbos. When you're setting up the vending machine, you're not specifically setting it up that a person is going to come and put money into it on Shabbos. You'd be very happy if everyone who was going to buy from it would buy from it on Friday and buy from it on Sunday. So you don't need Erev Shabbos, mostly Shabbos, you don't need them to specifically use the vending machine on Shabbos itself. Number two, you're not koveya it for Shabbos. Along the same lines, you're not koveya it for Shabbos. You didn't deliberately set it up for Shabbos. You set it up all the time. It happens to still be there on Shabbos. So therefore, those are important distinctions. And most of the poskim went along with those distinctions. Yes?
According to this, you wouldn't be able to like go in Friday afternoon and refill your vending machine.
Well, so even then, unless you were specifically refilling it for people to use on Shabbos, you were filling it up on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, and people could not use it the entire Shabbos and first start using it Motzei Shabbos Sunday, no problem at all. Number three, another argument that was brought by some of the later poskim, like the Chelkas Yaakov, is that the Nachum, assuming that you have Nachum who are buying it, if they're Yehudim, so we'll get to that, that's Lifnei'iver issue. If you have Nachum who are buying it, so they're buying it a daita and Avshayu, meaning they're not doing it in order to enable you to have a Kenyan, they're doing it because they want the product. So therefore, that also is a consideration. The Maharshag mentions also very importantly that it has to not be in the reshus of the person, it has to not be in his possession. Because we have a halacha, it's based on Tosfos and Shabbos, Daf Yud Zayim and Beis, that if you give an object to a non-Jew and he takes the object out of your possession after Shkia on Friday afternoon, so then it looks like he's your shliach in terms of doing hotzah with this chepes. So if the person is doing this object, even though you have nothing to do with it, but they are effectuating this kinyan with your vending machine, it's on your premises, on Shabbos itself, then it looks like they're your shliach. So therefore, he said that it's very important that it not be on the reshus of the Jew who owns the vending machine, and the Mishnah Halachos of Menashe Klein in his Shuva, which you have in the materials here, Skelet Dal Simam and Gimel of the Mishnah Halachos. So he says that another consideration is that it's just not a sure thing. It's not a sure thing that it's going to happen in Shabbos altogether. Essentially, as we mentioned. However, not everybody was comfortable relying upon the Tetarian with the vending machines. One Shita, the Yiva Talavona, in Shail Sechuvas Olachayim Simon Chavches, he registers a dissenting view. He says, no, that if I have a very active vending machine, it's in a place where lots of people are going to be purchasing from the vending machine, he says, it's impossible that you won't have at least one person who buys something from your vending machine on Shabbos. If you know that the volume is such that you get 100 people a day, 500 people a day, 1,000 people a day, you know for sure somebody's going to use it on Shabbos. So therefore he says that's as if you're kobeya the malacha, you're kobeya that this kinyan should take place on Shabbos, and if you hold the Rabbi Akiva Eiger as a concern, this could be a concern. And he says that Caliph Shaladim is Konami Debi Tam Kinyan Chatzer. Your Caliph are going to be Kone, because of your Chatzer, and therefore you're going to have a problem. So while others are more makel about this, Minchas Yitzchak in his Tshuva, Chelik Gimel Simon Lamedalit, he says we have to take seriously. We have to take seriously the fact that not everybody was so sanguine about this. So he recommends at least with respect to the vending machines, that a person make a tonight. If they own the vending machine, they make a tonight that the kinyan will only take place after Shabbos. It's like the Mari Asad has a tshuva in which he talks about there used to be a custom apparently after the rabbi would give a drasha. Nowadays, so people go over, they say yashikach, whatever. So the rabbi after gives a drasha. So in the olden days, they would go over to the rabbi and give him a matana. Give a good drasha, give him a matana. So that's a problem. You can't. I'm not supposed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. So therefore, he suggested that the Rav, you could take the matana. He has in mind not to be kone until after Shabbos. As long as you have the kavana not to be kone after Shabbos, that works. I remember that I used to lane when I was a kid in an early minyan in a shul, and there was an old man who was very nice. He would always give out a toy car to all of the teenagers who would lane, in this minyan. So he'd always give them toy cars. So I'd have to, make a cheshvet, to have a kavana not to be kone the toy car until after Shabbos, right? So so it's the same idea. Rabbi Asad said, you have a kavana not to be kone until after Shabbos. So says the Minchas Yitzchak, so too the person who owns the vending machine, he can, if this works, even biyado, even with a king in yad, there's something that's being handed into your hands. So certainly with respect to a king in chaser, something goes into your vending machine, so you can have have in mind or make a statement that you're not going to be kona anything until after Shabbos. So how does this whole discussion with respect to the vending machines, when it comes to the king in issue, how does that translate into the websites? Yes?
So every week on Friday, I have to say I'm not going to do anything.
And maybe you should even put a little notice on the vending machine itself, saying anybody who buys should know that I'm not, acquiring your money until after Shabbos is over. Yes.
But if the owner of the vending machine doesn't come, then is the customer come in the papers he's buying?
And Milchas Yitzchak has this idea that, like, the people would say, I'm giving a matana now, anybody who takes my lulav on Shabbos, when people would leave their lulav him, and it wasn't clear if everyone would take their own lulav, so he said, so you make a statement that they're all kohenim starting on Friday. I'm giving up right now, everything in the vending machine for the people who are going to receive it on Shabbos, so it's as if they already have been kohenim on Friday. Not everyone feels that so muchvach that you could do that, but that's the suggestion that he makes with respect to the kohenim. Yeah.
Someone breaks into the vending machine, $20,000. He's not going to go to insurance.
It's a good question. Maybe not. Unless the insurance would cover it, even though it doesn't technically belong to him. The insurance says, "I don't care that you weren't Kone as far as halachic purposes are concerned. As far as we're concerned, as far as yours." That's a question. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't have to be his to benefit from insurance. Maybe you could benefit from insurance even if you don't own something. You could benefit from somebody's life, even though it's not your life. If they die and you're the beneficiary, you can accept the insurance. I'm not sure. Maybe you could. So some say, with respect to the application, when it comes to websites, that the website is also passive, like the vending machine was passive, so therefore it's fine. But some say that you should do like the Minchas Yitzchak and broadcast the Kinyanim will only be effective after a Shabbos, set it up that way. That is the suggestion made in the Sefer Commerce and Shabbos as well. He makes that suggestion that you should set it up that way. And Kol Shekein, in the Shashas Chusam Areya Bazak, if you have the ability to be Mevatel, the Kinyan afterwards, if the person who buys it has the ability to be Mevatel, even after Shabbos is over, so that it's not finalized on Shabbos, so that would be Nochveset. That would make it even stronger. Some point out that the way the certain websites function is that a person just registers that they're interested in buying it, but they don't actually, press the button and buy it at that point in time. So that would certainly be less of a problem. But if they're buying it at that point in time, so what the Sefer Commerce and Shabbos says is, let's say it goes straight to a credit card company. So you say, if you could set up with a credit card company that they won't finalize the transaction, good luck setting this up with a credit card company, that they won't finalize the transaction until after Shabbos, so that's what you should do. But at least have in mind that you don't intend to be counting the money until after Shabbos. So that would be the way to get out of the problem, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger. Now, what about the Lifnei Iver issue, though? What about that's all? If all of the purchases are going to be nothing, they're all going to be non-Jews. Okay, so then maybe we can get out of this Kenyan problem. Maybe we don't not even host like Rabbi Akiva Eger. Even though the minhag is to be machmir like Rabbi Akiva Eger. Nonetheless, if it's completely passive and you have in mind not to be kona until after Shabbos, and even you broadcast it and you put it on the site, you're not going to be kona after Shabbos, so maybe that may set it up with your credit card company, that can make things better, but you still have a lifnei iver concern if you're going to be the Jews who are going to be going on your website. Yes?
Well, other places, that would work if you accept the order on Shabbos and then just process it afterwards. I mean, you don't have to tell the credit card company you got an order at all.
Processed after Shabbos, so then you don't have a problem. If the whole thing is processed after Shabbos, so then you don't. Then the chayva, you don't have this problem altogether.
You saw the problem. You saw the problem either.
No, I was talking about the Kenyan problem. We're doing one problem at a time. With respect to the Kenyan problem, you don't have a problem. There's no Kenyan. But now let's go on to Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver, we're just beginning the discussion now.
Usually, people can go to a lot of websites. It's not the Chayva and the Nara.
So that's one thing. So one question is it really Lifnei Iver? Maybe it's Chayiv the Nara. Maybe it's Chayiv the Nara because people could go on other websites. That depends. That depends on a couple of things. Number one, it depends on whether the product that you have is available in other places. Maybe you have a very specialized product that isn't available anywhere else. Number two, it depends on whether everybody else who sells this product is Jewish, because it could be you're selling Judaica. Selling Judaica, then probably all of the people that are selling it are also Jews. They have the Mishnah Melech and Perek Dan and Hilchos Malbim Velovet, who says that if the person committing the Avera would not have the ability to have anybody facilitate the Avera other than a Jew, so then that still is going to be considered to be Trei Iver D'Narva, that's still going to be Lifnei Iver on a Araisa level. So that's number one. You got to determine if it's Chayav Iver D'Narva. If it's Chayav Iver D'Narva and they can go elsewhere, then you still have a problem Midrabanan. It's 2 days in the Ramah, in Yoredei Asim and Kufnun Aleph, about whether if there's no Lifnei Iver because it's Chayav Iver D'Narva, they could go elsewhere, whether it's still an Issa D'Rabbanan. It says the Baal Nefesh should be Machmer, like the Shitas that say that there's still an Issa D'Rabbanan of Misayeya. So then you have to say, oh, well, maybe Misayeya doesn't apply, that the Shach says if the person is a Mumer, you're dealing with somebody who's a Mumer L'Chal Shabbos, so, you know, maybe the Issa doesn't apply, like the Note of Yehuda says, even if they're not a Mumer in general, they're just a Mumer to this, they're not maybe a L'Chal Shabbos for Hesya, they just have a temptation, they go on the internet, so maybe the Issa Misayeya would not apply. So that's one possible heter. Another possible heter is that maybe if you're dealing with a generalized product that's not intended for the Jewish customer, then the majority of the people who will be utilizing the website presumably are Rav Nachum, so they bring that in the context of the vending machines as well, that if the majority is that it's going to be used for, that it's not going to lead to an Avera, so you could follow the majority. Because the Gemara in Darim and Daf Samach Beis, somebody's selling firewood, it's always used for a Bodhisattva, but Rav Eitzim La'Asaka, most of the people use it for Hasaka, so therefore you don't have to worry about that, which is going to be used for a Bodhisattva. Secondly, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in a footnote, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasam, Perichav Tes, Sif Chav Ches, so he says, even if the majority are Jews, we could say, Ikal Misli, that there's a Mishnah in Shvius, where Machogis Beishamay Beisil, can you sell a Parah HaKoresh, a plowing cow, can you sell it on the Shemitah year? A person's going to probably use it to plow their fields. They say, no, Ikal Misli, they're going to shecht it. Beisil says you could sell a Parah HaKoresh, Beshvius, because you could be tole that the person who's buying it is going to buy it for hetzer purposes. So you could be tole. I have an internet site which is up all the time. I'll be tole that all the Jews out there are not going to use it on Shabbos. They're not going to use it for issa purposes. They're only going to use it for hetzer purposes. What?
I mean, they're going to use the website.
They'll use it. They won't use it on Shabbos. They'll only use it for mutzim purposes. They'll only use it during the weekdays. Who says they're going to use it on Shabbos? Who says they're going to use it on Shabbos? He says, economistically, that even though your website is available, that the Jews aren't necessarily going to use it. I mean, he's not talking about a website. Rosh Hashanah is talking about the vending machine. He says, economistically, that the Jews aren't going to use the vending machines on Shabbos. So even if you live in a place where 99% of the population are Jews, it's Eretz Yisrael, you can still have the vending machine open because you can say, economistically, that they're not going to use it on Shabbos. Yeah. Right, that's the kasha. That's the kasha. And this, the kasha is that within Shabbos itself, maybe there's no other options. Here you have to break it up in time. You have to say no, they're only going to use it during the weekday and not in Shabbos. That's not exactly analogous to the case of Rishon Shvius, 100%. The Chelkas Yaakov quotes a drisha that says that there's no problem of lifnei iver. If you're not giving something to somebody, you're just not turning on. You're just not being misalik something. So he says here too, you're just not being misalik. You didn't turn on the website or specifically, he's not talking about the website. He's talking about the vending machine. You didn't set up the vending machine specifically for Shabbos. He's just that you set it up 3 weeks ago. You set it up on a Sunday, three months ago. And you just didn't deactivate it before Shabbos. So that might not be lifnei iver. And finally, the box says it's not lifnei iver if the iser is not created b'shas maaseh, that the iser has to be created at the moment that you're facilitating the avera. We don't generally paskin that way, but it seems that in the context of misayeya, the poskim are more inclined to hold like that Bach. If the Issa is only Misayeya, again, you'd have to get it down to Misayeya and not have like a Judaic or website or something like that. But if the Issa is only Misayeya, so there's a Binyan Sion that says, are you allowed to give a sefer to print to a printer even though you know that most of the workers are non-Jews? I'm sorry, most of the workers are Jews. So he says you could do it because at the time that you're giving over the sefer on Friday, the Aveira is not being committed at that moment in time. So it seems like that's a possible out as well. At the same time, there are certain ways out of this would not be effective. Like if there really is a lifnei iver problem, we say that it's all Judaica and we're not going to rely upon these other heterim that we're just leaving it up not being misalik. There's a lifnei iver on a daraisa level. It would seem that it's not so easy to get out of it. Like you couldn't, says the Mishnah Halachos, that if I would enter into a shutfus, so with a goy, In order to have the website operate on Shabbos, he says that the shutfus would not enable you to get out of the Lifnei Iver problem. It might enable you to get out of other, you know, issues, but if you want the website open on Shabbos and you're going to be earning some profits from it, and you know that there are Jews that are going to be going on it, so then Mustama, there might be some sort of Lifnei Iver issue. So what emerges from this discussion is that you're going to, if you have a website that have a Jewish clientele, or that are only selling Judaica, so it becomes more difficult to avert these concerns unless we follow one of these approaches. Oh, it's okay because I'm just not being misalik, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, economically, that all the Jews of the world are going to avoid the website on Shabbos. But it's difficult to necessarily say that. You have the approach of Rav Uri Dasberg as a footnote in one of the Tukumin articles. Shlomo Dukovsky wrote his article in Tukumin. So he has a footnote, and he says, HaInternet Chovek Zoros Olam. The internet broadcasts itself, it embraces all of the corners of the earth. What does that mean? So what's the significance of that? At any moment in time, somewhere, somehow, it's not Shabbos. So therefore, you could say that at any moment in time that you are not leaving your internet open on a time in which it is definitely Shabbos for a Jew who's going to use it, that the Jews all over the world, you're making the internet accessible for Jews all over the world to use it at a time when it's not going to be Shabbos for them. And every single moment in time in which you have the internet open, it's going to be somewhere not Shabbos for somebody.
Uh-huh. So you have the problem the other way.
Again, so these are some of the arguments that I mentioned.
Torah website shouldn't be open. Like Judaica.
So Torah website, so that's the question. So let's say, though, that the Torah website, there's no kinyan involved, right? So you don't have the kinyan problem, but you do have the problem with Pnei Iver. People are going to browse it on Shabbos because they're going to be committing at least the Isuri Drabanan in the use of the computer. I mean, some say that if you could potentially be over a Mavir, let's say the person is only turning on the computer, you know, for the purpose of going on the website. So maybe when you're pressing the button, a light goes on, it could be Mavir. And some say the writing on the computer is derisive. Some say it's only through a button. It's ksava miskayim. It's a whole machlokas aposkim. Whether you're dealing with abundance derisive, but either way, it's even if you're only dealing with abundance, we assume that there's a lifnei iver issue. Yeah. Got a question? Okay, let's go on to the next one. Schar Shabbos. What about getting the money itself? So, are you allowed to pick up the money from a kinyan that took place on Shabbos? There's a famous tshuva, the Noda B'Yudah, Noach Chaim Simon Chopov, talks about, let's say, it was permissible for something to be used. That once we get around the impermissibility, right? If we say that if a kinyan just takes place passively on Shabbos and it's taking place berov through the non-Jews, you get out of all the other concerns, so then are you allowed to keep the money? So the Noda B'Yudah says, let's say somebody used your mikvah on Shabbos, they used the mikvah on Shabbos and they pay after Shabbos. You can pay. Because he says, Schar Shabbos is only if you're paying for like work done on Shabbos or you're paying for a service that was done on Shabbos. That's what Schar Shabbos means. Schar Shabbos is not if you're paying for an item, you're paying for a commodity. There's no Isra or Schar Shabbos because the item also, the person's going to keep, you know, you're not paying for Shabbos, you're paying for the item. So you could pay for the use of the wood, of the firewood, whatever, that heated up the mikvah. You could use for the use of, somebody buys food, takes food on Shabbos, they could pay for the food after Shabbos. So all of that would be permissible if a person is paying for the product. So in that sense, if I'm dealing with a website where a person is just paying for the use to browse the website, that actually becomes more problematic from a Schar Shabbos perspective. That's quite right. So from a Schar Shabbos perspective, a website that browses is more problematic than a website in which a person is paying for a product. If it is for a browsing website, then you have to distinguish between one-time use, or if a person is paying for like a month of use. If they're paying for a month of use, then they're paying the havlah. As we know, havlah, if you're swallowing up an entire period of time, so then you have less of a problem from a Schar Shabbos perspective. But if you're paying for one-time use, so then you have more of a problem from a Schar Shabbos perspective. And the Shevet Halevi says it's not so easy necessarily to draw upon the Noda B'Yehuda as a heter over here, because he says that there's a difference between the person who used the mikvah on Shabbos, they were doing a mitzvah on Shabbos, so then it's okay, fine. So you're getting paid for the product, you know, that for the Schar Shabbos, so that would be okay. But here I'm dealing with I'm dealing with a non-mitzvah, so he wasn't as sure about being permissible about the Sechar Shabbos in terms of the Kinyanim that would be performed Mimela on Shabbos in these in this particular context. Yes.
I thought the mikveh was an example. You would use something else.
You would
use his apartment there.
See, okay, but that's the case that we're talking about. Usually, apartments you have havlah. A person rents an apartment; they rent it over time. The havlah. So you don't have so many cases like that. Person only used it on Shabbos. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Right. Pashtus is that if you're paying for a product, it's not going to be a Schar Shabbos. But he brings such an argument. Okay. Yes.
Say someone
that advertises
on his website and he gets money every time that someone visits
the
website.
Right.
So that could
also be similar issue. All right, let's move on to Maris Ayin. So we have what about the fact that it looks like the person is doing business on Shabbos? The person looks like they're doing business on Shabbos. So so this is why, for example, we paskin. The Gemara says, "Also haskin merchatz legoy." You can't rent out your washing, your bathhouse to a non-Jew, even if the non-Jew collects all the proceeds, and you're not getting any benefit from what's being done in Shabbos. You rented it out to him, but nonetheless, it's a nikra al shmo. People know it that it's your bathhouse, so they'll think that you're getting something out of it. So this is why Rav Duchovsky advocates that you have to publicize that the kinyan's only going to take place after Shabbos. It shouldn't be a Maris Ayin, even if you hold that there would be a problem with the kinyan taking place on Shabbos. And others say there's no Maris Ayin with respect that when they speak about the vending machines, they say there's no Maris Ayin. Why? Because you don't know who owns the vending machine. But you could say that this is worse, right? Because in the case of the internet, you know who the internet site is called is called in their name. You know that it's a Jewish owner. You know that it's a Jewish website. So under those circumstances, you really might have some sort of a Maris Ayin issue. Yeah. But others argue in the Mareha Bazak. So they argue that if you look in the Maharshag did not require that it be Shmo Alav, that the vending machine not be Shmo Alav. He just required that it be not in the Rishus of the person who owns it. But as long as it's not in the Rishus, he said, what's the Maris Ayin? Everybody knows it's not in the Rishus. He knows that the person who owns it didn't engineer the kinyan on Shabbos. So even if it's in his name, there's no Maris Ayin that anything is being wrong, as long as it's done wrong, as long as it's clear that the person is completely passive and they're not engineering the kinyan on Shabbos. So there should be anything wrong with it. So that's the question, whether you hold it. There's something, whether you hold a separate question, whether you hold that the website is considered like in a person's possession. And maybe, you know, nowadays we all live in cyberspace. We all live, everybody know who, people even often don't even show up to work. They all work out of their homes. Everybody, you know, people work out of their computers. People move around their computers on planes, in the air. They live in their computers. Maybe people live virtually nowadays. So that's the person's virtual space. So they assume that the person, that the one who owns the website is living in their virtual space. And if it's open on Shabbos, maybe they're also living in that space. Maybe they're also watching the space, and they're clicking in their space, and they're texting in their space, and they're clicking buttons in their space, and they're helping to effectuate kinyanim in their space. I didn't see anybody say this. It's my own chiddush. Maybe you can make such an argument.
I have to come up with my own chiddush. Yeah. The owner of the website will be doing this. Shabbos?
Right. Who's that maybe, right, but maybe that's part of the Maris Ayin. Part of the Maris Ayin is that if it's in his possession, but maybe a website that's open is considered to be like automatically that it's in his possession. So next, the next consideration is Zilzul Shabbos. It's very interesting. The Chilkas Yaakov registered this concern when people started to set up answering machines on Shabbos. He set up answering machines on Shabbos so that the people who called into the business would be able to leave messages. So he said that technically speaking, it really shouldn't be a problem because no business is actually being conducted on Shabbos itself. They're leaving messages for the business to be conducted after Shabbos. But then he says that the fact that people can call in means that they're registering, you know, different deals and transactions that they want to take place. And he says about this, you have to apply the principle Chachamim Yizavar B'Divreichem. He says Bizmacha Technik Soy King Sadim Kadima. This is Rabbi Yaakov Breisch speaking before there was an internet. He says the technology is working very fast. And it could be very soon that you'll be able to sadechanes gedola ayidei automat Betanaban, Shechanos Tiptak Me'aleh, you'll be able to operate virtual businesses, he says. I could see a day when such a thing can happen. You see, Chachamim, Tavani Chachamim, visionaries. Me'aleh, L'shah, Nidrash, Rekonim, Yavo, L'shah, Rekshen, Shum, Ish, Bisham, and the purchasers will just be able to walk in even though there's no man at home, there's nobody at home. You are technic. Everything's just going to happen. Shall automatic. It's just going to happen automatically through technology. Can you imagine such a thing? And the people just put in the money and they'll make purchases of Shabbos. And if we're going to say, oh, it all happens by itself, so therefore that's going to be okay. And the giant little Shabbos is going to occur. Somebody will be davening and shuckling and shul. He'll be sitting down. He'll be singing Zmiras. And his business is just going to be working for him. It'll be like the robots, the websites working for him. And that's perhaps, he says, similar to what the Ramban was worried about, that of Shabbaton. He said it's going to be Uvdin Dechol, and it's going to be a violation of Zachos Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, Shalei Masech HaShabbos Kibachol. And therefore, he says that for all of these considerations, we should be very, very careful before we go and allow all of these things. So the Be'er Moshe, the Betzina Rav, thought that he was going a little bit too far. He said, I don't know, answering machines, I think we can't be gozeris on our own. He says, it's very nice that you're worried about all of these things, but even if you have a good reason for it, Vadim Gedoli Rabbanim, there's my name, Yisuk Zera, says if the Rabbanim of the Gedoli Rabbanim make an Asifa, and they want to make a Gzera, it's one thing. As long as it's just the Chilkas Yaakov, one Rav, even if he has a strong argument, and it sounds homiletically very persuasive, nonetheless, he can't be goes in Nukzeir, Salat Tzibur, along these lines. But this is a question about maybe this case is different. Because in the case of the Chilkas Yaakov, the answering machine, there was no business actually being conducted on Shabbos. The Shevet Halevi thinks you set up mechanisms of this sort. It's like Kovei Malachto B'Shabbos. It's like what the Mordechai was speaking about. You're not allowed. We don't really allow Heterim so easily when the person actually wants the business to operate on Shabbos. So I thought it was really very proper and very inspirational that the B&H photo site, they go out of their way to ensure that no kinyanim, no transactions can take place on their website and Shabbos. They don't turn down the website, as far as I know, but they do prevent, right? I'm not sure they block the website altogether, but at the very least, they do prevent access from being able to order products or be able to transact business on Shabbos. And I looked up a little bit. Somebody wrote a letter in which they said, oh, why is it that we can't access the B&H products? And somebody from the business, I think a Belgian Post or something, wrote back saying, you know, I'm sorry, but this is impermissible for us to transact the business on our holy day. We apologize for the inconvenience, but it is impossible to avoid. And I thought that was very nice. He went out of his way to explain that this is based on holy, sacred considerations. I thought that's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Rav Duchovsky at the end, after saying that, look, when you consider all of these tamim lahakel, there is room to be lenient, to allow the website to be open on Shabbos. That's how the Commerce and Shabbos Sefer concludes by Rabbi Kushner. He says, it's best, Rabbi Kushner says, it's best to set up that there be no actual kinyanim to take place after Shabbos. Everybody agrees that if we're dealing with something which is aimed towards a solely Jewish audience, that's much more problematic. You have a Judaica website, much, much more problematic. And Rav Duchovsky himself says that it's no same time lefgam. The whole thing is no same time lefgam. So I'll conclude with the, and therefore he says, it's not Mishnas Chasidim. Let's put it that way. The Shevet Halevi comes up with the following solution. He says the best thing is to sell to a goy. He says you could sell to a goy. If you need to have the website open on Shabbos, you can sell to a non-Jew like we do in other Shabbos business arrangements, where it would be a tremendous hefse to not close down. It'd be a tremendous hefse to close down the business on Shabbos. So he says that there is the possibility of entering into one of these partnerships. So when you license it out on Shabbos, when you license it out, you look in the Mishnah Berurah, which talks about Peskivas Merkatz, if not for the Maris Ayin concerns, it would have been permissible to rent out a Merkatz to a non-Jew, even if the non-Jew would only receive a portion of the proceeds, because they would say a Daita Dinafshik of it. It says here too, the non-Jewish purchaser would only have to receive a portion of the proceeds in order to avoid the problem. They don't have to be able to receive all of the proceeds for Shabbos. So he says, look, it's not Mishnas Chasidim, and it would only be permissible to enter into this type of an arrangement. But Malcolm Hefsed, like in the case of the Mordechai and the tax collector, what would be, I suppose, a better arrangement would be that if you rented it out to the website to a non-Jewish purchaser for Shabbos, and the non-Jewish licensee received all of the proceeds, not just a portion of the proceeds, but received all of the proceeds, so that would be better from a halachic perspective, then presumably that would be permissible even if it was not so much of a makom hefsed. But we should bear in mind with the words of the Mishnah Berurah, who says in Siman Reish Mem Dal, Sifkat Melamed, Bebotech Hashem, Ve'eino Mechapes Tzade Kulos, Al Shabbos Ashrav. A person who trusts in Hashem doesn't look for leniencies when it comes to making business or doing business on Shabbos. So Ashrav, such a person is fortunate and blessed. And Rabbi Kushner also in his Sefer quotes from a story in Shabbos Daf Kof Kof Aleph about Yosef and Simai, that he had the right to have non-Jews extinguish a fire that would have destroyed his possessions on Shabbos, but he refused to allow that because he just wanted to avoid as much as possible desecration on Shabbos. And miraculously, there were waters or something which sprattered out from heaven and extinguished the fire on its own, just out of nowhere. So that he brings that as an example, that if somebody is very, very meticulous about trying to avoid these problems altogether, then they will be blessed.
So
when you rent it out, you're 100% right. You'd have to do it in such a way that it was broadcast that this site belonged to somebody else who was not Jewish on Shabbos. 100%. Very good. And I'll quote from, since Mordechai was nice enough to bring to me the Meshi Mishpat of Toledano, who Rabbi Yosef, Avadi Yosef Toledano, says a lengthy tshuva on this, in which he goes through a lot of these different considerations. Also brings all of the tamim lahakel, especially if the website is set aside for the use of non-Jews as opposed to Jews. Says if you know that the lokim agoyim yish kampanim nosafos lahakel, at the end of all of his discussions of all of the ins and the outs, so he says that when he talks about the problem of zilzul bichvod Shabbos. So he says like this. He says, "Amnam nira shemiyacha v'im hispachtus olam hatikshoris v'miskar ein ish yodea ad ma." We don't know just how much further this internet and technology explosion is going to go. Ubeodor kvar yupalu achanias v'open automat. Sounds a little bit like Chelkas Yaakov, right? And another generation, just everything is going to happen, right? Even the cars are going to drive themselves pretty soon. They already started doing that, right? Ayude internet v'shel v'chol k'yotzibo. Imkein Mekahai Gavna, he writes, Min haroi lehatzia b'fnei gedoy leyadu l'sakin takanos lifos gidro shel tihapi chas v'shalom ha-shabbos l'chulin. That we have to make proper takanos, that the Shabbos shouldn't become l'chulin. It's becoming more and more because of the tremendous pressure for everything to be open 24/7. We have to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu created a Shabbos and one of the cornerstones of the world in our takanos in the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Shmiras Shabbos, that Kol Machal Shabbos Vehesi Adino Ka'akum, that this is a foundation of our belief and our identity as Jews, that we have to be extremely careful not to be overly lenient with respect to these issues. My personal recommendation when I'm approached by people is to say that you should treat the internet like any other aspect of your business. You should close it down on Shabbos, certainly close down any kind of business activity that would be transacted on the internet on Shabbos. In dire situations, one could follow the Eitz of the Shevet Alevi to enter into, you know, a business arrangement where it's sold to a non-Jew. But then the non-Jew should really keep all the profits from whatever happens on Shabbos. It should be a real real sale in an ideal situation. Okay, we'll stop here.
Shabbos,
Sorry?
Check the repair.
Oh, okay. Now it says that Pipashto is right, that you would be the person who operates the internet. It's the one who operates, whose website it is that you would define Shabbos based on their Shabbos. That's what B&H Photo does, that they define Shabbos in terms of New York. Shabbos in New York, that's when they close
down. This Sunday. So if you're earlier than them, it's Shabbos. If that comes out,
right.
But if
yeah,
it
otherwise
you're earlier, then it's not Shabbos.
Yeah, you'll end up losing 3 days. If you worry about everybody's Shabbos.
If it's Rosh Hashanah 3 days, then on Friday of Rosh Hashanah, it's definitely Shabbos. It's the day before Shabbos.
You're right. So there's certain days that you couldn't rely upon a redash for exogenous. Like when Moshe writes with respect to collecting ribbis from banks, which I also had in the materials. There's certain days. He said, most days. So at some point during the day, because their day starts at 12 midnight and ends at the following 12 midnight. So at some point, it's not going to be Shabbos. But he says that doesn't work when you have like 2 day yontifs and, and the like. Okay.
Two halachos?
Yes.
First of all, that one, the simplest thing would probably be to just check the computer clock when the person is on your website. And then check his location and match that to whatever Shabbat time is in his location.
You mean after Shabbos?
Moment the person is on your website, you can run a script that says, give me the computer clock.
I can't run a script on Shabbos itself.
My website's up already.
You're saying my
website runs a script.
I will program my website to run such a script.
And then when you're there...
You're already talking the lingo of modern world, you see. You're going to run a script. You don't mean you're going to run a script.
No,
your website's going to run a script.
Run the script before Shabbat. Yeah. And then when he lands on your website, it checks his clock and checks his location, readily available. And then it just runs an API to like Myzvanim.
Right.
It says, given this person's location, is this time Shabbat for him or not?
And then you'll know whether
and you'll know right away.
Or not, whether you can keep the money.
Right.
Okay,
fine. That's number one.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, but you won't be able to track whether the user was a goy or a Jew.
Right.
Okay.
Right, but at least like we can
know
if it's Shabbat for him or not.
Transaction took place in Shabbat.
The Lifnei Iver Shaila right away will disappear if you just determine if it's Shabbat in his area right away.
Why would Lifnei Iver disappear? You're not going to be able to stop
the Shabbat star
him. Oh, you're saying that you're going to stop the guy from doing the transaction.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're saying. So you'll put a block.
Right. That's
block.
Why do you have to turn off your website for the entire Shabbat? And you're going to break your head. Is the Shabbat where he is? If I only go by myself, how much am I going to join?
You have a business. You won't want to do that. That's a businessman. All of a sudden, I can't do my transaction.
But that's the general thing.
If you're a Jewish, stop right now,
Yeah.
That's the first thing. The second thing is what B&H does with turning off their checkout and their store. What often happens is when you start using PayPal, which is one of the services that handles your money when you make credit card or purchases on the internet, is oftentimes as a first-time user, your transactions won't be completed until 14 days later. Meaning PayPal will hold the money and they won't deposit it into your account until some time later. For whatever business reasons they do it that way.
And can the person be mevatel the mekach in the meantime?
But one of the things that PayPal has 64% of the online transaction market share. I was looking at that right now. And then Stripe has another 15. That's 80% right there. Both of them allow the merchant to delay a transaction to a later time. So I don't know. Where do we start? If you want to say, I started the Kenyan, but I didn't get the money yet.
If you can delay the transaction to take place at a later time, so that would be good. That would be like the suggestion that was made to only have the credit card register until afterwards.
So I got the credit card number.
Right.
I got a token, whatever.
So that would be the same thing. That would be great. You could do that. So that would definitely be a recommended mechanism. It wouldn't solve the favor, but it would solve the Kenyan problem. It would solve the Ska Shabbos because the transaction, you wouldn't be getting the money from Shabbos. Again, the Ska Shabbos problem is not such an issue because the person is paying for the product and the merchandise, so that's not a problem anyway. Yeah.
But if you wanted to worry about that, about even his avir.
It's about Hanam Shabbos. It's a related issue. You can get Hanam from the Shabbos. So that might be an issue. That'd be getting Hanam from your information. Website open. So if you impermissibly kept the website open, then you shouldn't get any Hanah altogether.
There's a flip side.
Yeah. But if you had reason that you had a basis for leaving it open, so then you'd be allowed.
They went to businesses. There was no Shabbason. The Shabbason was missing. Here you can really have a Shabbos and you don't do anything. I mean, the Shabbason aspect is the flip side of the internet. Now, you can... taking the
right. So what Tuchovsky says that if everything that's happening is happening like in cyberspace, so that doesn't touch my Shabbos. Doesn't touch my Shabbos. I don't know, is that true? If that's, this is really what's sort of taking over our lives in general, can we say it doesn't touch our Shabbos? This is why is that different from what the Chofetz Yaakov was talking about, or what Rav Toledano says, that if the mice of the business is happening, it's not like it's happening in some parallel universe. It's happening in cyberspace.
No, it's still a parallel universe.
But it's still, business. It's still the way that we're living our lives today. This is an extension of our olam. Well, it's not a different olam. It's an extension of our olam. It's how we're living our olam.
Nobody would have thought of that, say that 50 years ago. I mean, if
you, I don't know whether the Chofetz Yaakov
would. Yeah, he says it. But, you know, I can
35
see the
years
whole
ago.
Thing. Yeah. I was in business, right?
Yeah.
So I, going into business and Yichtov and all those things, they don't apply. You can have the most wonderful Shabbos and you don't, if you're a normal person, I mean, I don't have a smartphone or any of those things. I'm not interested. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. You know, I don't need it. But if a person goes through a Shabbos without never thinking about his business, what does he have to do with business? He's closed. It's working by itself. It's set up beforehand and everything's going. He called it O'Leary, Finnegan, and Lynch,
Carmichael,
and Carmichael, and nobody knows he's Jewish. Uh-huh. You know, he doesn't care. No, he keeps that secret.
Right. So that's the question as to whether that really is maintaining Shabbos. So, right.
Yeah.
It's a giant haruma. Okay. Good. Okay.